308-5571. Come see the gun doctor.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield today about D-Day, June 6, 1944. Before you get started back up, sir, the five points of attack. Mark Eby, the owner of Castle Rock, texted me during the break, and he said, I had an uncle who landed on June 7th. He was part of the combat engineering group. I went deer hunting at my uncle's deer camp for several years. Lots of firsthand war stories that were great. He lived in Crystal Falls, Michigan. So
Right. And listen, that wouldn't have happened on June 7th if he didn't succeed on June 6th.
Absolutely.
It was critical that you get a beachhead. You had to have the beachhead. And you've heard me talk about what happened on Omaha Beach, which really not... I'm dealing more with the planning today, but if those men would have withdrawn, and there was thought of that, Omar Bradley was, they were looking at Omaha Beach with binoculars, and quote, we can't even tell if there's anybody alive on Omaha Beach. Everybody was hunkered down, and if they would not have taken Omaha Beach, even though that they were successful at Utah Gold, Juno, and Sword, the whole thing would have collapsed. Because within a day or two, within a day, the Germans would have brought off their panzer divisions and would have slaughtered the other men. You cannot, the soldiers landing on those beaches were just to get a beachhead and so that the bigger ships with the heavy artillery and the tanks could come in and start the advance. No way you could win with that group.
So why was Omaha Beach so critically important strategically?
It was right in the middle. This was a 50-mile.
Okay.
50 miles worth of beaches. Omaha was right in the middle. And it is also, we didn't quite get this, is where the Germans had their greatest defenses. And it was bad. But those men, and you've heard me read this quote from... Colonel Charles Canham of the 116th Infantry Regiment said, they're murdering us here. Let's move inland and get murdered. In other words, we can't hide under this beach forever. What had happened was a lot of them were slaughtered, and there was a point at which you could hug the sand or hill, and the gunners would not be able to shoot you. But because as soon as you move forward, you get shot. So right. They were all hunkered down, and the men had to say, we're going to go forward. They blew a hole in the cement defenses, and then they all charged at once. A lot of them died, but a lot of them made it, and eventually the beachhead was secured, and the rest is history. But who knows? Just a handful of men, a few hundred, made a big difference. At D-Day. Now, a lot of historians will say this. They'll say, look, it's never about one man or just even a couple hundred. No, it was. If the D-Day invasion would have failed, then what? Would we have tried another invasion? How long would the war have gone on? Would we have gone back to the idea that we're just going to bomb all the European cities into submission? Hey, what about the Germans who were working on every day getting better at their rocket, that they were developing rocket science and technology in these flying bombs, as they called them, that weren't that accurate yet. But if they had more time, what could have happened? These, what they call them, the V5 rocket, the Germans were working on. Hey, we had to win the war now, or it could have gotten worse later. Yes, we were winning, but the Germans, you think the Germans were working on atomic weaponry? Of course they were. And they were way ahead of us in the with rockets. So we had to go forward. We had to win. And I think it's probably true. We had to win now, or June 6th, in other words. It had to be done like that. There were arguments among the planners. General Eisenhower, are you sure you know about the sand on these beaches? Will our tanks even move on this sand? Mm-hmm. And Eisenhower had done a lot of experiment. He said, yes, the tanks will work. Will the Jerrys, that's what they call the Germans, will the Jerrys bring up their heavy artillery and pulverize us right on the beach? Well, the truth of the matter is, we didn't know. But we had to go. And the fact is, when the invasion started early on sunrise, June 6th, Hitler's back sleeping, and everybody's afraid to wake him up. And he had said, you can't move my panzer divisions without my special permission. So they were setting there. If they had moved up to the beaches, it would have been different. So Hitler had always stayed up late, talked and talked and talked, went to bed late, and got up late, fortunately for us.
Mm.
That is the way that is. And it took a massive amount of cooperation, but not always good. Another player in this, besides FDR and Churchill and Montgomery and Omar Bradley and Lee Mallory and Arthur Tedder, was Charles de Gaulle. And he didn't approve of the plan. Charles de Gaulle says, you're going to fail. And Eisenhower got really kind of upset with de Gaulle because de Gaulle wouldn't go on the radio saying, support the invasion. You know what? Eisenhower said, well, we're doing this for you, whether you support it or not. And the relationship between Eisenhower and Churchill was pretty good. But between those two and Charles de Gaulle, leader of Free France, it was not good. Hardly anybody on a personal level like Charles de Gaulle. I mean, he didn't like the idea we're invading the country. But Vichy France, what's Vichy France? That's the part of France that was cooperating with the Germans. And they did. They had to cooperate with them. You can kind of understand, but de Gaulle was the head of the Free France, the government in exile. But he was an arrogant man. And he wouldn't go along with it. But he reaped the benefits of it. When Paris was finally liberated, he comes walking through it like he did something, which he didn't do much. He didn't even hardly support it. Now, on June 6th, let me read you this. Here's what Eisenhower said. Right before the thing started, before the invasion starts, he says this, quote, he writes this, just in case. He says, our landings in the Cherbourg Havre area have failed to gain a satisfactory foothold, and I have withdrawn the troops. My decision to attack at this time and place was based upon the best information available. The troops, the air and navy, did all that bravery and devotion to duty could do. If any blame or fault attaches to the attempt, it is mine alone. He took responsibility. He made the call. He made the date. He chose the place. He overruled the generals when they were varying opinions on exactly what to do. And he says, now, if this fails, I got to take all the blame. That's what leadership does. It doesn't seek to blame somebody else.
Right.
It takes blame. It takes the blame.
The buck stops here.
Right. Even though I don't think it would have been his fault, but you have to take the responsibility.
Sure.
He did make the call in the end. Now, in the end, he later becomes president of the United States because he's the hero.
It worked.
It worked.
Succeeded. So
right.
he got the credit solely on his own. Let me ask you this question. When the date was changed because of the weather, explain that process because of what they were experiencing and how did it actually affect the actual attack once they went on June 6th. How was that all factored in with the weather at the time?
Well, for starters, they only had so much fuel. The ships out there. There was a fuel question. We can't do this the 7th. The tides, the time, the weather will be worse. It's going to get worse. The fifth was bad. The sixth was some better, and they went on it, and it kind of hurt morale in the sense that you're out in these ships, the main invasion force,
sure,
and you're there, and you're just rocking back and forth for over 24 hours.
Mm. You're ready to go. You want to fight, and you're getting seasick,
right? And so morale was a part of it. The weather people, the military weather people, had to say on the 5th, it's bad. But within just a couple hours before the deadline, hey, Eisenhower, you either got to go or don't go. We got to go, or you got to call them all back. The weatherman comes in. He's just kind of a lieutenant. Said, we believe there's coming a brief opening, a ceasing of the weather, and you should have a day of decent weather.
Mm.
And so Eisenhower had to say, I see no alternative. We have to go. See, Bernard Montgomery, he wanted him to go the day before in bad weather. And others were saying, hey, especially the paratroopers, windy, we get blown away from our drops.
Oh, yeah.
It could be, I mean, you're going to fall in the middle of a town, you get shot. And some of them did. They
sure.
They fell into towns, and they were just killed before they hit the ground.
Mm.
Now, in the end, yeah, it worked. But that was so many decisions. And Franklin Roosevelt called for prayer. And I don't know if I'm going to have time to read this whole thing. I'll start. My fellow Americans, last night when I spoke with you about the fall of Rome, I knew that at that moment, troops of the United States and our allies were crossing the channel in another and greater operation. It has come to pass with success thus far. And so in this poignant hour, I ask you to join me in this prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. Their road will be long and hard, for the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again, and we know that by thy grace and by thy righteousness, our cause, our sons will triumph. I'll finish this on the other side.
Sounds good. Perfect spot for a short break. Final segment of our history lesson discussion today with Pastor Chatfield. Word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
If you're nearing 65, you're probably being bombarded by insurance companies by mail and phone, trying to sell you this product or that. Laura Bogdan has personally looked after the needs of seniors, taking the time to explain how Medicare works and other benefits you may not even be aware of. Laura is ready to help you today.
I'm Laura Bogdan. Call me today, 231-264-6890, 231-264-6890.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Are you tired of governments invading your online privacy? Introducing Legendary VPN Services. With our VPN, you can browse the internet with confidence, knowing your personal information is shielded from prying eyes. Say goodbye to hackers and corporate thieves. Our cutting-edge encryption ensures your browsing history remains confidential, even on public Wi-Fi. Protect your privacy today with our reliable and lightning-fast Legendary VPN service. Visit legendarysystems.net or call 231-818-8349. Your privacy is our priority. LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
From Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
No matter what you are, I will always be with you. Doesn't matter what you do, girl, I'll go with you. No matter what you do,
I will always be with you. Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of this discussion with Pastor Chatfield. You were going to wrap up that statement that he wrote there at the end, right before the break, sir.
Right. This is Franklin Delano Roosevelt, his prayer. I'm finishing up to his prayer. They will be sore tried by night and day, without rest until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls shall be shaken with the violences of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise and tolerance and goodwill among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, and brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in thee in this hour of great sacrifice. Many people have urged that I call the nation into a single day of special prayer. But because the road is long and the desire is great, I ask that our people devote themselves in a continuance of prayer as we rise to each new day. And again, then each day is spent. Let words of prayer be on our lips, invoking thy help to our efforts. Give us strength, too. Strengthen our daily task to redouble the contributions we make in the physical and the material support of our armed forces. And let our hearts be stout to await the long travail, to bear sorrows that may come, to impact our courage into our sons, wheresoever they may be. And, O Lord, give us faith. Give us faith in thee, faith in our sons, faith in each other, faith in our united crusade. Let not the keenness of our spirit ever be dull. Let not the impacts of temporary events, of temporal matters, of but fleeting moment, let these not deter us from our unconquerable purpose. With thy blessing, we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Let me stop and make a comment. Yes, the Nazis were unholy. The Holocaust was unholy. Yes, that was wrong. I know some people minimize the Holocaust. How can you minimize the murder of 6 million people?
Mm-hmm.
Mostly Jews. Mostly Jews, not all Jews, but 6 million. That was unholy. That's wrong. Some wars have to be fought. This war had to be fought, in my opinion. Again, with thy blessings, we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogancies. Lead us to the saving of our country and with our sister nations into a world unity that will spell a sure peace, a peace invulnerable to the scheming of unworthy men, and a peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping the just rewards of their honest toil. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen. So there was Franklin Roosevelt's call on the nation to pray on D-Day. by that time, I don't have exact timing, but, you know, things were going well by that time. But it certainly wasn't a done deal. There'd be a lot of fighting yet, 10 months till we get to Berlin about. And so, but we win the war in the end. And the planning of D-Day was a massive undertaking. That's the lesson.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, the thing of it is that I learned in high school in my U.S. history class and have come to hear you over the years talk about this and many other things. This was, like you mentioned before, how the Civil War was the blood that was shed for the sin, the evil of slavery. It was the debt the country had to pay, the pain that we had to go through for that unbelievable practice of slavery. But most importantly, World War II, after coming out of the Great Depression and Roosevelt expanding federal government, actually World War II economically was a huge boom for us to produce all the war weapons, how the car factories down in Detroit and Warren, Michigan, how they were all converted to building tanks, airplanes, all the parts and things. Not only did it had to be fought to defeat Hitler, but it actually, timing-wise, it actually saved our economy.
Yes, I believe that. It's what pulled us out of the Great Depression. Yes,
yeah.
I do believe that. And something else from World War II. After what happened to the Jewish people, there was a sympathy for them that they deserve a homeland. And it's because of a series of events, including the Holocaust, that we had the establishment of the Nation of Israel in 1948. Yes, it probably wouldn't have happened without the Holocaust. But it did happen, and there they are to this day.
Yeah, absolutely. And still fighting and dealing with the enemy. Amazing, amazing. One of the things I wanted to get your opinion on real quick, obviously this led to Eisenhower becoming president, and that again, was a major paradigm shift from a Democrat president for three terms going to a Republican president.
Actually, it's five terms.
Yeah.
Five terms.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Because Truman was elected in his own right. In 1948. Yes, it did. And by the way, everybody could see that Eisenhower could be elected president. He was very, very, very popular. And he got along with Truman. But nobody even knew what Eisenhower was. Was he a Republican? Was he a Democrat? And by the way, that's kind of the way the military is supposed to be. And you're supposed to be.
Yeah, nonpartisan.
Supposed to be. That's the way it was. And we didn't even know what Eisenhower was.
Unbelievable. Excellent lesson. Greatly appreciate it, sir. We'll see you on the radio for church Sunday from 11 to noon, sir.
Amen. Look forward to it. Thanks, Randy.
All right. God bless. Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way.